We've been working through some real cool bunch of verses. Not that there's some uncool bunch of verses, but yeah, they're really personal verses to each one of us, or they, you know, they can be, and they should be. Before I kind of look at the verses and sort of read through them, I remind myself of the scene. So can I remind you again of the scene, and just that these verses are definitely for us. A large crowd had followed Jesus, you know, a super large crowd. Remember, he was the Son of God and was doing some pretty amazing things. So he attracted people from all walks of life, just interested in what was happening. You know, they were intrigued. And this huge bunch of people had followed him. And he just got a point where he wanted to more talk with just that special group who were his followers. So he kind of put a bit of distance between that big crowd and just gathered around. I don't know how many there were. Maybe there was 12, 13, 14, might have been 30 people. I don't know. Those that were more in his inner circle, his real followers. And he wanted to talk to them personally. He wanted to just communicate some things that they should know and apply to their lives. And then some 60 years later, remember when Matthew wrote the book that we have now, that inner circle had grown immensely. There were a lot more people who were followers of God. But that message was just as personal to them. It was like Jesus was gathering that group of his followers 60 years later around him and saying, hey, this is specially for you. It was, you know, like a one-on-one almost, but there was a group. And now, all those years later, that group has grown even more, and millions upon people. But it's just as important. It's like Jesus was saying, okay, special followers, those of you that are in God's family, kind of gather around now. Gather around me. I've got something real special to communicate. And what he wanted to communicate on this occasion, and the verses we're working through over the last couple of months, was just how a follower of mine should live. If heaven's going to be your home, this is how you should be living on earth. As my ambassadors, this is how you should be living here on earth. So can you see that they are a real kind of special, personal bunch of verses that will be that's being looked at. And this morning we're up to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. So I'll read them. Now there's some bits, it's not many verses, but there's some bits in there you think, oh, don't really understand that. But don't switch off, because we'll get onto them as we go on. So if you're somebody that kind of think, oh, don't understand that, I'll think about lunch or something. Don't. Stick with us. So, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. When I was reading and thinking about these verses, I thought about the digger driver. Now, this incident happened in New Zealand last year, and I found it fascinating at the time. But there was he was more than a digger driver. He owned a small company, and his company was subcontracted by this much larger company to put in the car park around the supermarket. And it just happened to say last year in New Zealand. So they signed the contract. Yep, he would put in this car park. The completion date was such and such, and the payment from the much larger company would come on this particular date. So the small company put in the car park, pristine car park, huge car park, massive car park around this supermarket. And he did it on time, met the completion date, and the quality was brilliant. And then the time came for the payment, and this larger company simply refused to pay. Had the money, but simply refused to pay. He got in contact, where's my money? Poof, get lost kind of scenario. And the months went by, and the big company refused to pay him for no good reason. And he got really frustrated. And not only frustration, but he was hurting. You know, he had workers to pay. He had other businesses to pay. But if the money didn't come from him, from the larger company to him, well, he couldn't meet his obligations. And so he was hurting. His workers were hurting. The companies he owed money to was hurting. And he just got so frustrated. And he thought, right, I'm going to stick up for the little man. So he got one of his diggers, he took it to the car park, and he proceeded to dig it up on his little digger. And if you saw it on the news, you saw the humour in it. This little digger in this massive car park, and there he was going, clunk, all the way up and down this car park until the police arrived. And they in the end, removed his digger and himself from the car park. But such was his frustration. He had met his obligations, but this bigger company just wasn't going to pay. Anyway, it went to the High Court, and the High Court found in favour of him, and the big company was ordered to pay the $300,000 that was owed to them, owed to this much smaller company, and he didn't actually have to reinstate the car park. Anyway, but anyway, he got his money. But if you like, Jesus was taking us aside and taking these people aside and said, I don't want you to act like that, like that big company. I want you to act with integrity in your lives. And the second part of verse 33 kind of gives us the story about what was happening in Jesus' day, because acting without integrity is nothing new. You know, 25 years ago, I worked on Fair Go, and it was all about, you know, people not meeting obligations, saying they'll do things. You know, so 25 years ago, there was a lack of integrity among people. And certainly in Jesus' day, there was too. And this is what he was addressing. So it's just as personal for that, what he was talking about for those 12 or 16 people as it was for those people 60 years later as it is for us. But this is what was happening in Jesus' day. And it was among some of the religious leaders as well. So it wasn't just, you know, some scumbags. It was some of the so-called religious leaders as well. When they entered into a contract, they would, or they were verbally promising to do something, or they were kind of telling a story, they would call on someone or something higher than themselves as a witness, you know, to add weight to what they were saying. So if they were wanting to impress upon just that they would do something, they might say, as God is my witness, I will do this. And if they had, and they would use God's name if indeed they intended to follow through with what they were going to say. And so they would say, right, I will meet this obligation on such and such a date as God is my witness. And they would follow through. But for instance, if they had no intention on following through on what they were going to do, they would kind of leave God out of the picture, and they might call on something else or someone else that is impressive, such as they might say, as heaven is the is my witness, I will follow through on this. Or they might say, by that great city in Jerusalem, I will follow through and I will do this. Or they might say, as there is hair on my head, I will follow through on this and do this thing. But they would say this without any intention of following through on what they were going to do. So they actually had no intention of doing that. And Jesus was saying to his followers that I don't want you to act like this. Don't enter into a contract without integrity. Don't do this and follow, and not follow through on it. But this is what was happening on Jesus' side. He was saying, I want you to act with integrity in anything. But you see, they weren't. They thought that they could leave God out of certain areas in their life. But he was saying, no, you can't do that. Let's just read verse 34 and we'll follow that up. But I tell you, do not swear at all, but this is the important part, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair black or white. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the Lord. So he wanted them to act with integrity, kind of in all areas of their life. See, what they were attempting to do was to sort of over in this area of their life, they were including God, so they would make that vow, yes, as God is my witness, I will do it. But then they would kind of put God down and they would walk over here and then leave God out in this aspect of their life, and make their vow. But what God was saying was, what Jesus was saying to them, when you make that vow about heaven, but you're planning to leave me out, well, heaven is my home, if you like. That's where I am, so you can't leave me out. When they were saying, well, if you make a vow about earth, well, earth is my footstool, so you can't leave me out of that at all. When you make a vow using that great city of Jerusalem, well, that's my city, so you can't leave me out of an area of your life, that I should be included in absolutely everything, in all aspects of my life. In fact, he says in verse 34, we'll just go back a bit. So he's saying, whether at home or whether at school, whether at college, wherever, you include me in your life. Integrity is in all areas of life. And then he says at the start of verse 34, in fact, do not swear an oath at all. And the point is, and this is a kind of an important point, that it wasn't a ban on swearing an oath, because we see later on that Paul himself swears oaths. But the point Jesus was making was that your integrity and your character and your reputation should be such that you don't need to swear an oath. If you say you're going to do something, you'll do it. If you say you're, or if you're making a claim about something, it will be true. If you say, I'm going to fulfill this obligation, well, then you will fulfill the obligation. If you're making a claim about something, well, it will be accurate. That should be just the way it is as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was sort of looking at these verses a couple of years back, a few years ago, there was a few of us here at church doing a course that took a few months. We're doing it by correspondence and then a block course, but these verses were involved in the course. And I was called up to jury service. And as a juror, if you've been there, you have to swear an oath that you will serve to the best of your ability. And you can swear this oath either on the Bible or not using the Bible. And when I've been called up before, my decision was, well, I'll use the Bible. But this got me thinking that, well, really, I don't need to swear on the Bible, because if I promise to do something, I'll follow it through. I don't need anything, I shouldn't need anything else to support that. So that was my decision after reading these words, that my word is my word. If I've made a commitment to serve to the best of my ability, then hey, my word is my word, I will do it. And that's what Jesus was talking about. That's what he was kind of taking us aside and taking these people aside. That you should have integrity, you know, in all areas of our lives. And the challenge, or the challenge for me is outside of jury service, will integrity be part of the other areas of my life? And that's what Jesus was really wanting to impress upon them, that integrity should be in all areas of their life, not in one particular area, you know, where they made that oath using God's name, but in those areas where they kind of left God out and sort of just did those other oaths. That's what Jesus was wanting to make clear. And he sums it up in verse 37. He says, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. So if you say you will do it, you'll do it. If you say you won't do it, you won't do it. Kind of any variation on that, he's saying, is not of God. Act with integrity. And that's what he expected of his followers, that this should be a characteristic of our lives. That should be a characteristic of someone whose heaven will be their home one day. So that's the challenge that I've received as I've looked into these verses, to make it that integrity all areas of my life. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've got a ways to go in this, in a certain area of your life. I don't know. Maybe you're fine, and a pat on the back to you. But if you've got some ways to go in an area in your life, in there, it's not. Don't get beat up about it. The reason that Jesus is taking his followers aside and taking us aside is to point that out, is to just highlight areas in our life that we can include, that we need to make some improvements. And then with the Holy Spirit's help, you know, just day by day, just improving upon that. So over time, it becomes the most natural thing in the world to act with integrity. You know, it comes from our heart. The Holy Spirit's changed us, and it does become the most natural thing in the world to act with integrity. So that's the challenge that I've had, and I hope to pass on to you, is just over this next week or couple of weeks, just kind of be conscious of acting with integrity. Is there an area in your life that you kind of, it might be lacking a little bit? Well, with God's help, we can indeed change that. So let's pray and thank God for these practical verses. Father God, we thank you immensely for your word, the Bible, that it is practical. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has, if you like, taken us aside and just gives us some help in living as your ambassadors, as his followers. And Father, if there are areas in our lives that we can make improvements on, we pray that you'll highlight these over the next week or two, and then with your Holy Spirit's help, we can make progress in this area. And Father, we do thank you too that heaven will be our home for those of us that are part of your family. And Father, may we with your help live lives, I guess, that are pleasing to you, Father, that reflect how you would want us to live. So we do pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.